that's how I feel when people are reaching out to me and they're like, how did you overcome being suicidal? Right. How did you overcome your anxiety? Yeah, how did you overcome, you know, depression? How did you overcome these things? And I'm like, I know a guy.
Yeah.
His name is Jesus.
That's real.
And I'm telling you, I've tried it all. Yeah. I can't give you every explanation of why it works.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit and the Great Trinity, I can't explain all the things to you yet.
Right.
But what I can say is that what I do know is that when I invited him in, something happened.
Hey, you guys, before we start this episode, I love to invite you to join our In Totality Patreon community. This is a place where we lean into vulnerability and perseverance. Meet me there today. Join now at www.patreon.com/MeganAshley. All right, guys, see you there. Hey, you guys, welcome to In Totality, a place where we celebrate authenticity and openness. We're here for those who are willing to explore, those who embrace imperfections, and for those with open hearts and minds. I'm excited to embark on this journey with you, and while I can't predict every twist and turn, I'm certain that God will be by our side with every step of obedience. Welcome to In Totality with me, your host, Megan Ashley.
What's up, you guys? Welcome back to In Totality. I'm your host, Megan Ashley, and I am so excited that you're back. You're joining me back here, and I can't be more grateful to you. So thank you for coming back and joining us. I'm so excited for today's podcast because when I started the podcast, I really, you know, I was super hesitant, and I felt really compelled and encouraged to just be as authentic and transparent as possible, because I feel like that's the only way to really help anyone through my gift. I feel like that's my gift, is my vulnerability and my transparency. So in doing that, I wanted to invite you guys in on just my life and how, you know, I'm walking this journey out with God. And a big part of that is discipleship. And it's not something that I feel like is talked about a whole bunch. And I'm being discipled right now, and I'm learning so much because I know that God is preparing me to do that for other people and to help other people with mentorship and discipleship. And I'm so passionate about it. And so I'm just inviting you guys in on that journey. So today I have the woman who has been discipling me, Santoria, is here. How do you feel? I'm so excited that they get to meet you, because I feel like and we'll talk about what discipleship is and everything, but I just feel like it's going to make a lot of sense where I am.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
By you being here and kind of giving them a glimpse of kind of what we've been working on in the last, you know, couple months. How you feel?
I mean, I feel good.
Yeah.
I feel excited. And when I was driving over here, I was thinking about, like, there was nerves, of course. I'm like, okay, oh, Jesus, here we go. But I was like, wow, we get an opportunity. Like, I really saw it as an opportunity to equip people to serve the Lord well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think there isn't a lot of that. Like, even in churches, a lot of the sermons oftentimes are not about equipping people to serve the Lord well.
Yeah.
It kind of points to a lot of different things,
which
we've discussed in discipleship. And so, I'm excited for people to just get a peek in and kind of
what this looks
informally
like.
Informally get discipleship, hopefully.
Yeah. Okay, first let's start with, what is discipleship? Well, no. I don't want to start with that.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Let me go back.
All right.
I want to start with who you are. How did you even get into discipleship? Like, just give us a little kind of background on your story. And before we get into really what discipleship is, how did you even get
into it
to, like, want to disciple other people?
So, like, I didn't want to disciple other people, right?
For sure.
The Lord has a tendency to of bamboozling you, kind of like he's done with you. And now here we are, right?
100%.
So, I had a friend that was starting a church, and he was like, "San, I want you to come in and help me." And I was like, okay, yeah, I'll help you start. He was like, "No, I want you to be the women's minister." I was like, "Bro, that's a lot." You know, and I was like, "I'm not really built for that. Mm-hmm. Like, don't I need to be ordained?" And this is like years ago. This was like over 20 years ago. Mm. No. And he was like, you love the Lord. You love his word. You love his people. Mm. Like, you'll be fine. Mm-hmm. And I think it really encouraged me that maybe I could do it because mm-hmm. it seemed so simple to him.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I mean, if that's all it is, like, yeah, I got that.
I can do that. You know what I mean? Right.
And so, I was like, okay. I said, well, I'll help you until you find somebody mm-hmm. else. And, mm-hmm. you know, then 7.5 years later, wow. I was still there.
Wow.
So it was there that I really, as a result of being over the women's ministry, mm-hmm. We believed in discipleship. Mm. He had been groomed in discipleship. Mm. And then he actually discipled me.
Wow.
So then in turn, you know, I started discipling all the women as they yeah. came in. And it was dope because I was able to train other women in how to disciple. Because mm-hmm. we got so big, it was like, no way I could yeah. be a one-woman army. You know what I mean? So, yeah, that's just kind of, I was like, I loved the Lord. He saw my faithfulness to God and mm-hmm. his word. And he was like, yo, I want to partner with mm-hmm. you. And
did you always, did you grow up in church?
Yes.
So God has always been a presence in your life.
Yes. But the interesting thing was in discipleship, I learned that I grew up in church culture, mm-hmm. but I didn't really grow up in Christ. Mm-hmm. So I knew kind of the ideas of the Christian faith, but yeah. like I was celibate. I was a virgin till I like my sophomore year mm. in college. And I just always was like, you know, I'm honoring God, but there was really no real connection mm. to what it meant to honor God in that way. Like
yeah. you just I'm did honored. It cause you were told to
and,
do it.
It was and the it was right thing to do. Like yeah. a good Christian does that. And so I realized when I met my pastor at the time that I had been given just a bunch of like guidelines and rules and parameters. And I was a good kid mm. and wanted to be obedient. So I followed them, mm. but it wasn't really because I allowed the Lord to
the
like,
work.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so when I met him, it jacked me up because I remember the first thing he was like talking about the gospel. And I was like, oh yeah, the gospel, like Matthew, Mark, Luke, you know, like, and he was like, the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I was like, oh, mm-hmm. like it's that specific.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, and then it made the whole faith make sense mm-hmm. because I'm like, oh, like we sinned and we were separated from God as a result. Mm-hmm. Jesus came, he died, rose to reconcile us back to him. Oh yeah. So I'm supposed to live different. Like mm-hmm. it made all of the things yeah. I was doing, the rules I was following mm-hmm. make sense
yeah.
and be rooted in something.
And, I get that because I grew up in church too, where yeah. I like always knew the faith
yeah.
and always knew what was right and wrong, but there wasn't like a conversion of my heart
yeah.
because I was just doing things because yep. I knew it was right or wrong
yep.
and I didn't know why.
Yep.
Like I did the
yes.
thing, but I didn't know
yes.
why I was
there
doing
it. There was no
the
real
thing.
Connection.
Yeah. There was no like context.
Yep. yep.
And not because, you know, like my I always say my mom is the greatest Christian I've ever known.
Yeah, your mom's dope.
She's like the greatest Christian I've ever known, but she... You know, she didn't sit down with me and break down text.
Right.
I saw her live it.
Right.
Like, I saw her
same.
Live it.
Yeah.
So
same.
I believed it too, like a part of growing up in church and like knowing it. But yeah. I'm thankful that I got to see someone actually live it.
Yeah. No,
like, she
absolutely.
Didn't come home.
Absolutely.
And live a different
yeah.
way than she was at
my
church.
My mom either.
She
yeah.
didn't get in front of certain friends
yeah.
and live a certain way.
Yep.
She was who she was.
Yep.
But I feel like, with discipleship, why it's so important, and we'll get more into it, but why I feel like it's so important is because you have to know it for you.
Yeah.
Like it has to change
yeah.
something in you.
Yeah.
And if you're just growing up, just doing the rules
yeah.
and not, there's nothing, there's
yep.
not a change of heart.
Yep.
I don't think that's what God desires either.
I think discipleship ultimately, I was thinking about it. It really is, it's training you to look to Jesus, like training you mm-hmm. to look to Jesus.
Because disciple means discipline one.
Yeah. Yeah. And you ultimately, we have to learn, like the Bible says that when we come to the Lord, our old life dies.
Yeah.
So a new life is birthed.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be taught how to live in that new life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, to your point, going back to even my mom was an amazing Christian in how she lived.
Mm-hmm.
She felt bad when I came to her and was like, Ma, I didn't know what the gospel was? She was like, I'm so sorry.
And because she's like, they're so busy trying to live it, you know what I'm saying?
And thinking that we're getting it from the exposure.
Yeah.
Not even recognizing, like, nah, there's actually really specific things we need. We need to be given that roadmap to see why it all, why is 1 + 1 2? Mm-hmm. Why is that? Mm-hmm. And so instead of just knowing it's 2.
2.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And how did you get there? Like, it's the show your work. How did you get there? So like when, like with the kids, when they have to do math problems, they, even if it's what's 2 + 2.
Yep.
Well, we know 2 + 2 = 4. That's easy. But it's like, no, show me, show your work.
So I can see you really understand it. And you're not just putting the right answer.
Because.
And I think in Christianity, all we do is say the right answer. We don't really know.
And the reason why it's so important, y'all going to have to excuse us. Because when me and this one get together,
we get really rowdy.
So the reason why showing your work is so important is because you can memorize 2 + 2 = 4. But if you show me your work and you show how to get there, it doesn't matter what problem is there.
Yes, baby. You can apply it to something else. You better. Yes.
That's why.
That's the
show
difference.
Your work.
Yeah.
Show it.
Yeah.
And I think that that's the thing that, like, discipleship, what we've been doing has been showing, like, and I know we're kind of skipping ahead, but this word.
Yeah, listen. It's alive and active, like I say.
And rowdy.
It's rowdy.
This word is rowdy.
It's super rowdy.
I mean,
it's
up. Okay, so what is discipleship?
So, like I said, I really think it's just training, like training a person to live unto Jesus. Mm. Like training them on it, right? So it's like I've come to the Lord, I realize I'm a sinner, I realize I need salvation. Mm-hmm. Now what?
Now what?
It's the now what. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's me now breaking down 1 + 1 = 2.
Two.
And giving you steps. So, you know, you get challenged with the word. Mm-hmm. You know, I often, you know, there was a time where you felt attacked in your thoughts. And I'm like, okay, so the specific ways you're attacked, let's go to the word and see what God says about that. So that, like Jesus did when he was in the wilderness praying and Satan came to tempt him, what did he do? He combated it with God's word. Mm-hmm. Like, that's our sword, right? Mm-hmm. So training a person to actually do that.
Yeah.
And a lot of times when you introduce just small concepts, they're like, oh, like, I didn't even think about that. And you're like, yeah,
this is
the
one thing that helped me so much that you did. I think it was one of the first few times that when we went to the coffee shop. Mm. And you know, I was having
You were right at the end of some big stuff, but you were like trying to level out.
Oh, Jesus.
So I was going, praying for God to show me how to hand you some stuff to balance you. Like, all right, what can I throw her, Lord, that's gonna.
But what you taught me in that, like within the first few minutes of us sitting down, you, and I'm so thankful that I brought my Bible, because it's like, why wouldn't I bring my Bible? But you were like, go to, I don't know if this was Hebrews, but you told me to go to the scripture and I opened it up. And you wanted me to, and you and Jackie do this to me a lot. Read it. And I'm like, I gotta read it out loud. So you're like, read it. And I'm like, okay. So I read it and you made me replace, you made me put my name in it. Like you made me say it personal to myself.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't know if you know how impactful that has been in reading my word now. Like,
praise God.
It's going to make me cry. And now I'm only 5 minutes into this podcast. Ugh. But it has, by replacing it, I am such a crybaby. Lord have mercy.
Me too. Surprised I'm like being like strong right now.
Sheesh. But, and you know I hate crying.
You do.
But it has helped me, because the biggest thing that I struggle with is how God sees me.
Right.
That's my biggest thing.
Yeah.
And so by making it so personal, and saying it out loud.
Yes.
I can't even say what it's done. It's just has done something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Like it has personalized it so much for me, and it's changed the way I see myself.
And that's the job of the discipler.
Yeah.
It's to shift your perspective so you see God clear enough that it impacts you.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's to teach you how to make it personal.
Yeah.
It's to show you he died for you, Megan.
Yeah.
He didn't just die for the world.
Yeah.
He died for you, Megan. Like when he says that, I know the plans I have for you to prosper you.
Yeah.
It's Megan.
Yeah.
Like it's specific to you. And I think oftentimes the goal of the enemy is to make you be in this mass of people where it's very impersonal.
Yeah.
But we don't serve a God that way.
Yeah.
And I feel like part of why my walk has been consistent and solid is because it's very personal to me.
Yeah.
He's very right here.
Yeah.
He's very much watching. Like I've said to people, when I'm praying, I don't see God on a throne.
Yeah.
He be sitting right here.
Right.
And I'm like, so listen.
And I remember I told you that day that I was in my office and I said that lately I had been, you know, for the last 6 months since I moved into this house, I've been taking my time with God like very serious.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
More than I ever have in my life.
Yeah.
Ever. And I sit in my office and I do my devotion, I pray and I read my word. And sometimes that is an hour. Mm. Sometimes it's 2 hours.
Yep.
Sometimes it's all day.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
On and off all day. But just sitting there, I remember in my office, I was sitting in a chair and then I had another chair in front of me. And I was sitting there and I had my hands open like this and I was just praying and just inviting God into this space. Mm-hmm. And I was just praying and the chair was sitting right in front of me and I swear I could, I don't swear, I'm sorry, because I just read in the scriptures, you're not supposed to do that. And so now that I know that I read that, I have to do better.
Okay.
But it was like he was sitting in that chair right in front of me. I mean, I could feel his presence so thick.
Yeah.
It was like he was sitting right
That's
in
right.
front of me and I could do nothing but just weep. I mean, I was weeping.
Yeah.
Because I was like, this isn't a God that's far off. Mm-mm. This isn't a God that's outside of my reach. This is a God that is so present with me.
Yes.
Like right here.
Yes.
And it felt like in that moment, like, because I was praying, I kind of opened my eyes and I looked up and I felt like he was sitting right there in front of me. And I could feel and hear him saying, like it was reverberating all through me. I'm here. I'm with you.
That's dope.
I'm right here. I'm right here. I'm right here. And I could feel, I could feel the pressure lifting.
Yeah.
Like I could literally feel myself. I could feel myself.
No,
getting
I get
lighter.
It. Yeah,
you know
yeah,
what
yeah.
I mean?
I absolutely do.
Personalizing it was major.
It's huge. And I think every time I go to the scriptures, I go to it with the mindset of like, Lord, what do you want to show me about you?
Yeah.
Hey, Red, what are you up to?
Just making sure all the M&M's gifts are wrapped and the ball is filled.
Remember that one holiday party when we had no M&M's?
Oh, boy, I still have nightmares.
The cookies?
Yeah, you used all the M&M's candies that were meant to decorate the party treats, to decorate snowmen. You did it again, didn't you?
They do look cute, though.
Bringing cheer, M&M's for all fun kind.
So
and just about you, but
exactly.
Yeah.
So that I can know you better and I can better play my role in this relationship. Like I read
so
the Bible
good.
Like it's a letter he wrote to me. Period.
Because it is.
Like y'all, because it is.
Because it is.
And it's like even I think we were talking a while back about I was reading through Genesis, the creation story, and I was like, yo. When you look at the preparation that God put into making the world, and I thought about how when we prepare to that level or with that level of detail, it's because it really matters to us.
Yeah.
And so it connected to me like, wow, how much we matter to him, right?
Mm-hmm.
So not only did he do all this preparation in the creation of the world and the animals and separating the night from day and blah, blah, blah. But then, like, he numbered our days. He knows the hairs on our head. Like, this thing is so personal. And it's like, if everyone could tap into
that. Yeah. And he says, too, my thoughts for you outnumber the grains of the sands of the earth. Like, it's it. There's no way it's not personal.
Yeah, it's extremely.
He thinks that much about you.
Yes.
He thinks that much about me. He thinks that much about, like, that is personal.
And how dope is he that he can be that intense about you and me, and neither one of us feel slighted. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're not like, you spend a little more time with Megan than you did with me, Jesus.
What's that about?
You're never going to feel that.
Never.
Because he can literally be everywhere all at the same time.
Yeah.
Fully.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That to me has been.
That's so dope.
And I feel like for me, it's not a little thing.
Yeah.
It's a major thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it was such a simple thing.
Yeah, yeah.
That, like, simple as making this book personal to me when I read it.
Yeah.
Like, and the thing that God really has been rocking me with this week is, and it goes into, it plays a role into seeing myself in the scriptures,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was getting frustrated about something, and, you know, I started thinking about Paul, or I feel like God was reminding me of Paul. and I'm like, well, I'm not Paul. And he's like, oh, I'm not asking you, but I'm God.
Oh,
and I'm the same God.
Oh.
So what I did with Paul, I'm still that God. What I did with Moses, I'm still that God. What I did with Abraham, I'm still that God. What I did with Jacob, I'm still that God. What I did with David, I'm still that God. So I'm not asking you to be David.
That's
I'm not asking you to be
That's
Moses.
Right.
I'm asking to trust that I'm that God.
Yeah.
So
Listen.
What I did through them, for them, is the same way I can do for you. Like, I'm not asking you to do anything but believe that I'm God.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say I was like,
yeah. Yeah. And if you don't get checked like that, I'm like, I'm wondering if you're talking to the God who created everything. Because he's
talking to God
all the
or demons?
Time. Listen.
Who are you talking to?
Listen.
Who are you talking to?
Listen.
Because that's how, and say, because this is all about change. When I tell you this, having a revelation of who God is will give you a revelation of how he sees you.
That's right.
And having that's a revelation of how he sees you, it makes you approach him differently.
That's right.
And it changes everything.
It does.
So why do you feel like discipleship is such a missing thing? Or do you feel like discipleship is a missing thing? Because I feel like a lot of people, especially right now, I feel like there is a hunger and a curiosity for something more.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I don't know if everyone understands that curiosity and that urge that they feel is God.
Yeah.
And it's him that's that void. Because I believe that God created all of us with a void only he can fill.
Yep,
there's an emptiness inside of us that only he can fill.
Yep.
And so that's why we chase other things.
That's
and we go from
true.
One thing to the next thing to the next thing, trying to fill a void that only God can fill.
And we never find peace.
And we never find
just peace.
Never.
It's always like once whatever it is that we're filling it with wears off, we're searching for something else.
Because it's a counterfeit.
Or it is. Yeah.
It's
a
counterfeit because he is the Prince of Peace. He is peace.
Yeah.
Period. And outside of him, there is no peace.
No.
And oh my God. Sorry. I get really wound up. But I was just talking to Jay and Jordan about this last night.
Because
I was like, you know, what was one of the first things that I said to you about my walk? I don't want to be a fool.
Yeah.
I kept saying that over and over again.
Yeah, nah.
I don't want to be a fool.
Yeah.
I don't want to be a fool.
And you can't be in the middle.
And I can't be in the middle. Yeah. And I'm terrified of hearing depart from me.
Yeah.
That is the big, I'm not really scared of a lot of things.
Yeah.
But that.
Nah, I hear you on that.
I mean, when I say it literally, like right now, I'm nauseous. It makes me physically sick to think about. But then I thought about last night. I was listening to something, and this guy on YouTube, and I'm not going to give his name because I don't know if, but he was preaching the gospel,
okay.
So it's like,
trying to validate nobody.
Right, I don't want to try to name, but whatever, but he's a preacher in Australia, and anyway, he was talking about the war and everything that's going on right now. And I have had a lot of questions and I've asked God a lot of things because I am a deep empath and I hate seeing other people suffer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Micro or macro.
Yeah.
I hate seeing people suffer. Yeah. It tears me up.
Yeah.
And, but anyway, he was saying that, like, outside of Jesus, there is no peace. Like, you're trying to, like, we're never going to accomplish peace unless we invite him in.
Yeah.
And so I started thinking about, I was like, how... Because everyone experiences peace at some point, I believe. Yeah, everyone experiences
some version of it,
whether it's for a minute or for a day or a lifetime, whatever. I feel like people experience that. Like, because the Bible says every good and perfect thing comes from him.
That's right.
So we experience good things. Even sinners experience good. People who don't believe in God experience
the
God,
air we're breathing right now, whether we love him or not. It's a good thing from him.
Yeah. So I was like, I was thinking, I was like, man, when we die, and this is all over, and people have to stand before him, people who chose not to believe, and they have to stand before him and realize, A, that he's real, and that was him that gave you that peace and that joy and all those experience, that love that you experienced and all those happy times, like, it was given to you by him, and you rejected him.
Mm-hmm.
What that must feel like to stand before him and have to realize you are the Prince of Peace.
Yeah.
You are love.
Yeah.
You are, like, it broke me. It, I don't know why, but it tore me up inside.
Yeah. 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 And I think those moments are necessary because it then gives you compassion.
Yeah.
To go and share the good news. Like, hey, bro, y'all on a ship and that mug is sinking. You know what I'm saying? I think, I think those are absolute necessary moments.
And that's why I feel like discipleship is so important. And because I feel like people, like I said, are having this urge and they want something. They want that void to be filled. And we see a lot of people, we see a lot of celebrities, we see a lot of influencers that are pursuing God and they're trying to, they're everyone's
or some form of spirituality. You know what I'm saying? They got their little crystals.
Yes. And I think that it's an infatuation right now.
Oh, sure.
I feel like people are infatuated with the idea of God. Because even people who aren't saying they're doing crystals, they're saying Jesus.
No,
but I don't
true.
Know if it's, it ain't none of my business and that's their business.
Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
I think that there's an infatuation right now.
Like almost it's trendy.
Yeah, it's trendy.
Yeah.
I feel like it's become a trend right now, which is fine because God can do anything.
Absolutely.
But it's like, I feel like it's so important that right now churches are diving so deep into discipleship.
No, I agree.
So that when people have an urge to follow him and they're trying to pursue God and they're trying to fill that void, there's people of God that are rising up to say, okay, we got you.
Yep.
Let's train you up. Let's build you up.
Absolutely.
And I don't feel like I'm seeing that.
No.
I feel like I'm seeing people happy that, now I'm not even, Megan, shut up, because I was about to go down.
I'm probably going to go anyway.
And I'm like, shut up, Megan. But you know what I'm saying? I'm like, why aren't people, because what happens in churches is that they see a person that has a gift or a talent come in their church and it's not to disciple them.
Yeah.
It's to prostitute their gift.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Well, I think it's literally the scripture, where Jesus came in and where he turned over the tables of the money changers. And he was like, this is supposed to be a house of prayer. You've turned it into a den of thieves.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I think that's really it. I think, unfortunately, and I was thinking about this like between last night and this morning, church is a convenient vehicle to just come up. It really is. You're approaching as the leader of a church. You're approaching a group of people that are already open. They're already going to trust you. Right?
And then that is so manipulative.
It is so manipulative.
Ooh, I don't like it.
So exploiting it is easy. Because my whole thing is, with a lot of the people I've come up against that I can tell, you're not about the salvation of men to Jesus. You're not about that. You're about something else. I'm like, go be an inspirational speaker. Go be a life coach. There's room for you there. And you can make
you
money.
Lots
and you're
it.
Not sullying the name of Christ. But the griminess.
Or to be held accountable. Because the Bible tells us that, I don't.
Teachers.
Teachers are going to be
held more accountable. Absolutely. And it's like they don't even think it's them. But I think because the culture of church has become such big business.
Yeah.
I think people really are deceived and don't think they're doing anything wrong. I think they really are deceived. And the Lord has really been putting it on my heart to pray more.
For people.
Because I've spent so much time frustrated and griping about it, to be honest. And the Lord's like, Sam, pray. You know what I mean? And I watch, it's funny, I watched this video a couple days ago about this dude who came like out of witchcraft and came to the Lord. And he was saying how these 20 women in his country and a pastor committed to praying for 90 days. And when they were praying, it was stopping the hand of the enemy against their country.
Because the word says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and seek my face and pray, then.
Yeah.
But not until.
Yeah, no.
And there is contingencies with God.
It is.
I'm like, y'all, there are contingencies.
It really is. And I think that we don't believe they are.
Yep.
And you know what I think that... We don't think there's contingencies because God is so good.
He's so kind.
He's so kind.
And we take advantage of it every
day.
We do.
And so we're like, he ain't going to do nothing. Like, after a while, we start thinking he's soft. But we need to be reminded every now and then that he's the one that said, remember Lot's wife. That he's the one that flooded the whole world.
Yeah.
That he's the one that for one act of disobedience with Adam and Eve, sin came and it's jacking us all up still. Like, people need to know to this day. So people need to know that's to the point he made to you. I'm the same God.
Yeah.
Don't play me.
Don't play me.
And he says, what you sow is what you're going to reap.
Jesus.
If you sow to the flesh, you will reap corruption. It doesn't say you might.
Ooh.
You will. And I think people, because he, you know, remember the scripture we were talking about where it's like the Lord is not slow in coming.
Mm-mm.
Like you
he's
think.
Patient.
He's patient.
Because
he wants you to repent. He don't want to give you this whooping, but he will. You know what I'm saying? And he will do it with his whole chest. And my whole thing is, I don't want the Lord to whoop me, because who going to stop? Who going to check him, boo?
Who going to check him?
Who?
No one.
You can beg, but he'll be like, nah, she had this coming. Unless he just decides to show me mercy.
And got receipts.
Listen.
He has receipts. He has receipts all the time.
By the time he whoops us, we are past guilty. We was guilty 6 years ago, and he's like, I kept. So yeah, there's nothing we can say.
And what's crazy is that I know that to be true because of what I've been through in the last 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
Not only have I experienced God's grace, but I have experienced his judgment.
Man, yeah.
I have experienced consequences.
Yeah.
I have I've experienced those things too.
Yeah.
And that's why I was like so big with the word in totality. Cause it's like, I have experienced it in
totality.
I have experienced him,
mm-hmm.
his kindness, his grace, his judgment.
Like all of it.
All at the same time.
No, and praise God for you having eyes to see that though.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Cause unfortunately I feel like there's times where the Lord will allow consequences and people will get bitter instead.
Yeah.
And they'll get resentful.
Yeah.
And because they still don't see that they're wrong.
Yeah.
It's that hardened heart. You know what I'm saying? Like us seeing the Lord in totality,
mm-hmm.
us being able to respond to him a certain way, that is a gift.
A gift.
It really is. And you have to fight for it. And then you got to fight to keep it.
And what I noticed too, I noticed that when I allowed him to see me in totality.
Yeah.
Because that has to be a permission. Like, he's a gentleman.
Yeah,
and he's not going to intrude and invade spaces where he's not welcomed.
No,
it's like he's a gentleman and he's God.
Yep.
We're going to take a break from the episode because our friends at Frito-Lay know that joy is bold, vivacious, and contagious. Joy gives life flavor, rhythm, and vibes. And when joy takes flight, it can't be contained. It's robust, more than a smile or a laugh. It's an infectious experience. So here's to all the creators that inspire us with your creativity and passion. Let's keep filling the world with joy. And make sure you look out for My Joy campaign powered by Frito-Lay. Let's get back to the show.
It's like, think about it. If you're top dog, walk into a room, you're not chasing nobody.
Nah. Nah.
You're not begging nobody
to
sit with them.
Absolutely.
You're like, when they want me, like, I'll be right here.
Mm-hmm.
When they ready for me, I'll be I'll be right here. But when I allowed him to have me in totality, when I said, okay, God, you can have every area of my heart.
Yeah.
You can search all of it. Because at first I'm like, search my heart, Lord. But really in my heart, I was saying, search this part, but not
this
that part.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, that other part you can't have. But when I told him he could have my heart in total, like you can search all of it.
Yeah.
Go ahead and get in the places. I took all the locks off.
Yeah.
I took all the hinges off the doors. Yeah. They're all open. You can search all of it, right? Even in the judgment that I experienced from him, I started, because I was open to him, I started to experience more of his love and more of his kindness, more than I was experiencing the judgment.
Yes.
Like the judgment, the feeling of the judgment wasn't as harsh.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because the love was so overwhelming.
Of course, you see, he's so good.
Good.
You're like, oh my gosh, actually I deserve worse. Yeah, when you see how good he is.
I deserve.
Yeah. But I want to say this, that's why, and I know we have jumped all over the place.
It's fine.
But that's why in discipleship, it's so important, if you're like, I want to be discipled, for you to be ready for discipleship. You got to be open. You do, because you're going to be challenged.
Saying
you're going
I to was be exposed. Beat down you, like, by the time you
but
came.
But you, and you, so you were open. You was
I
like,
said,
what
man,
I need to do.
Tell me what to do.
Which is why I could say, put yourself in there. And you was like, okay. And it shifted everything. Because you got to apply the tools, right, that you're given. Because just like you were saying, like, God is a gentleman. He won't force himself. Mm-hmm. And even as I disciple, I will never force.
Yeah.
I'm going to invite you and listen like a trainer. Mm-hmm. If you want to get your A game up,
I'll be here.
I know what to do, but you're going to have to listen to it. And if you don't.
Yep.
And there's been people that I've worked with and saw there was this battle. Mm. Like, you still trying to hold on to stuff, or you trying to tell me stuff I know you don't know.
Yeah.
Because I've been there.
I feel like it's only going to come. You're only going to, not only, but I feel like it's either right when, like, discipleship needs to be introduced right when somebody
comes to the Lord.
Man. Like, it needs to be immediately.
Yeah. Yeah.
As soon as you go to God, you need to find someone with some godly wisdom and that have been seasoned in their faith to help you.
Yeah.
You need help.
Yeah. No, a lot of it.
You need help. You cannot do this by yourself. God is good and he will show up.
Yeah.
He will be with you when you pray, but you need help.
Yes.
You cannot do this by yourself.
Because the moment you're serious about the Lord, Satan becomes even more serious about you.
Ooh.
And you need somebody in there like, hey.
Say it again.
Don't trip.
Say the moment
you get serious about the Lord, Satan's going to get real serious about you. To the point where it can make you question the decision you made to serve the Lord. So I'm like, yo, if you got somebody there, it's like, hey, this happens. Hang in there. Fight the good fight. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know if it's the scripture that talks about, like, think it not strange when you come up against all kinds of trials and stuff. Mm-hmm. It might be this scripture or another one. Y'all don't quote me. But at the end of whatever scripture I'm talking about, it's talking about enduring trials. And at the end, it was like, it was basically an encouragement. It was like knowing that your other brothers and sisters in Christ are enduring the same thing.
I read that.
And
that,
so
what is
Satan
that,
always wants to make you think that your suffering is just specific and significant. Yep. Everybody who decides to serve the Lord is getting whooped. I promise you.
I mean, spanked.
I promise you.
Especially if they're pursuing it with their whole heart.
With their whole heart. Ooh. Which is why, but I tell people all the time, so when you read the word, that's why he uses the aggressive language he uses. Mm-hmm. He says that the word of God is a sword.
Yeah.
He tells us to put on the full armor of God. He says, if you want to be his disciple, you got to deny yourself, your whole self. Take up your cross and follow him. He says you got to lose your life to gain your life. Like it's so aggressive. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Mm-hmm. Like he's always talking about fighting. When you look at when Paul wrote the letter, I think it was in Corinthians, he was talking about, I was shipwrecked. I was flogged. Mm-hmm. I lived in a cave. It's all because he's serving Jesus. It wasn't because he was trying to go to the club and, like, you know what I'm saying, and have a bunch of chicks lined up and, I don't know what they would have been doing back in bootlegging.
But God is still so faithful and kind to encourage us to endure in that suffering because of what's on the other side.
Yes.
He's not saying suffer for nothing.
No, absolutely not.
He's not saying endure for nothing.
Absolutely not.
He's telling you that you are going to have a life for eternity with peace.
With none of that. And so to put it in perspective, I always tell myself when I'm going through stuff and I'm irritated with it, I'm like, but you know what? Even if I live 100 years and I got to deal with all this raggedy.
Pales in comparison.
It pales in comparison to eternity. of peace, of love, of joy.
Let me tell you something.
Of no more death. Of, it's worth it.
There, I came to a revelation about this maybe mid-June or July, but I was reading a scripture where it says the enemy is looking mm-hmm. for someone to devour, oh, yeah. right?
He and walks to and fro.
I mean, he's searching. He's searching to and fro to look for someone to devour. Yeah. And then I saw a scripture where it says that God is looking to and fro, looking for someone to strengthen.
Yeah.
So God asked me, that's he said, dope. Who will you be found by?
Ooh.
Who are you going to allow yourself that's to be found right. by? Because just because the enemy is that's looking right. to devour you, yeah. God is so kind yep. that he's searching for. And yep. when, and it was just interesting to me that God has to search
no.
for someone to be. No. I'm like, God, that's I'm real. Right here, no. bro. You ain't got to
you
search.
Gotta search.
I am here.
Me. Pick me. Pick me.
Pick me. I am here. Yeah. Weak.
Yeah.
Weak.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can find me, yep. strengthen me,
yep.
please. Yeah. And that's what he was saying. Like, I'm looking for some,
that's
who
true.
Will you allow yourself to
that's
be found
true.
By?
That's true.
Who?
Yeah. Yeah.
And when you get to the point where you're like, I know that 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 God is real,
yeah.
that he is who he says that he is.
Yeah.
And then suffering still comes.
Yeah.
It's like, bruh, I don't even care
like so.
If it kills
yeah.
me.
Yeah. No.
Killing me would be doing me a favor.
Listen, because I can get up out of here and be with Jesus. I ain't got to deal with none of this. I ain't got to pay no more bills.
I ain't got to pay taxes.
You know what I'm saying?
I ain't got to deal with humans.
No.
I ain't got to deal with people's emotions.
None of that. No, facts.
You would be doing me a favor.
A favor.
A huge one. So when you get to that place,
yeah.
you know what I'm saying? But I know that it probably would have taken me so much longer to get to
there.
That place had I not been discipled.
Yeah.
Had I
no,
not had
amen
somebody
too.
Say, go, like, it's if
like
I text,
they show you where to look.
You literally,
yeah.
you and Jackie both,
yeah.
if I say anything, it's like, I got scripture for that.
Yeah.
And no, it's facts. Like, and it literally will, man, the yeah. amount of times that y'all have done that. It don't matter where I'm at. I will weep. I will weep because it's always, I'm like, this book is so big and, you know, we know
that's
the main
saying.
Scriptures, but
yeah.
we don't know all of it and we yeah. don't know all the context. But once you start to know
man.
It all,
it's something for everything.
It brings it all together mm-hmm. and it's overwhelming.
Yeah.
You guys, this episode of In Totality with me, your host, Megan Ashley, is sponsored by BetterHelp. What's the first thing you do if you had an extra hour in your day? Really, think about it, guys. A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time. The question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you and make it a priority. Therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. Listen, you guys, I have been in therapy for a year and it has helped me so much. I mean, tremendously in helping me find what really matters to me the most. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/totality today and get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/totality. All right, guys, back to the show. All right, guys, before we continue on with this episode, just a quick announcement. Black representation in media is super important to our community as it promotes diversity, challenges stereotypes, and allows for more authentic storytelling. It helps foster a sense of belonging and can positively impact societal perceptions and breaking down biases. Tabitha Brown, Ava DuVernay, Viola Davis, Issa Rae all have made significant contributions to film, television, and media, paving the way for more diversity and inclusion. The next generation of influential Black voices can be found on NPR's new collection, Black Stories, Black Truths. Black Stories, Black Truths is a celebration of Blackness from NPR. Each of NPR's Black voices are distinct, varied, and nuanced as the Black experience itself. In the Black Stories, Black Truths collection, you'll hear stories of joy, resilience, empowerment, and creating world-shifting things out of struggle. Every episode is a living account about what it means to be Black today, told from a unique Black perspective. From Bobby Shmurda to The Wire, Michelle Obama to reparations, there's no limit to the range of Black stories and Black truths. I recently listened to an episode entitled A Taste of Freedom. This episode talks about Juneteenth and the day that the enslaved Texans found out more than 2 years after Emancipation Day that they were free. Black perspectives haven't always been centered in the telling of America's story. Now, they are the story. In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, you'll find a collection of some of NPR's best podcast episodes celebrating the Black experience. Hear a feed of episodes from across NPR's podcast that center Black voices. It's NPR's Noir. Turn on NPR today and hear a range of voices that are varied, nuanced, and Black. Stories should never be about us without us. Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR wherever you get podcasts. All right, guys, back to the show. It's overwhelming.
But that's how you also know it's divine. Like, how you got answers to everything? How you got answers to everything? Like, everything. It's timely for today. It ain't even, people be trying to clown it like it's an old book. Then listen, you are not reading with any kind of revelation. That thing is relevant like a mug, which is what jacks me up.
Jacks.
All the time.
Jacks.
Yeah.
So let me ask this. What point in discipleship, I have a few questions because I want to know how do
I know,
you.
We should ask the questions too you have right now because I think they're good.
Yeah. How do you know the right person for you to disciple and for like you as a discipler, how do you know the right person to disciple? Mm. And then for a person that's looking for discipleship, how do they know the right person to let them disciple them?
Yeah. That's tricky.
Because a lot of people out here saying they're discipling people and they not, and they advising people. And I didn't realize that until I started getting discipled. And I said, oh, you're not discipling me.
No, you're just giving me advice, okay, which is cool.
But, which is fine. There's a place for that. But discipleship is very different.
It's very different. Discipleship is super invasive. So you honestly, it has to be someone that you esteem. And I think, because gosh, it doesn't always have to be someone that you have watched for a long time. Mm-hmm. And I say that because of how our thing went, you know?
Yeah.
But it needs to be someone who, they're upright, you know, they're solid in the word. Mm-hmm. They have a genuine heart for people and to serve people. Like discipleship, I feel like it's like parenting, right? Like you showing up for these cats, you going out of your way, you're praying for them when they don't even know it. And they're not always grateful for it. Sometimes they get, you know, frustrated because you're challenging them or you make them do whatever. But you have such a heart for people that you ride it anyway. Yeah. You know what I mean? Really someone who's just biblically sound. Mm-hmm. You can tell that their words and their deeds, they match.
Yeah.
And they have a love for people, I think. And you can test it, right? You can meet somebody and be like, okay, I think maybe, Lord, are you... Because I did that before. I was looking for a mentor at this stage even. Mm-hmm. I was like, man, I want somebody that can speak into my life, that can hold me accountable. Mm-hmm. And I prayed, and there was a number of people I, like, went through and was like, and I was like, oh, it's you, you know? So I would say be open to that. Definitely prayer. Pray about everything, y'all. Mm-hmm. Pray about everything. Mm-hmm. Like, we really don't value the weightiness of prayer. Mm-hmm. You ask God for his help and he will give it to you.
Yeah, he's kind
enough
to do it.
It's that simple. Yeah. And you need his help. You know what I'm saying? And so pray. In terms of, what would you say? You said,
how do you know who to?
So it'll normally be like an unction kind of. So with you, what was funny is that I was at a conference and you spoke at the conference. Mm-hmm. And I was listening, and I was like, oh, wow. Oh.
But say what you say all the time about knowing if a person...
Oh, that's your, the bus analogy.
Yeah.
So I often say, if you come to the Lord for real, and you really have experienced, like, the life-altering changes of, like, faith, it's like being hit by a bus, right? And when somebody's talking, and they say they know the Lord... you can tell if they've been hit by that same bus mm-hmm. or if they're describing the fact that they saw somebody get hit by a bus. Mm-hmm.
So
you,
can,
you can detect the fakes. I can't tell you how or why, but it's so different. Like the detail, the way you respond, the way it motivates you. It's just, it's different when you've actually been hit by the bus.
Yeah.
So you were talking and I was like, oh, this girl been hit by the bus. Like she not describing seeing somebody get hit
you
by the bus.
You said she been hit by few.
She been hit by the bus. I was like, amen. Like I knew that your profession of faith was sincere. Mm. And so I was like, I'm about to pray for her. Mm. And so it was funny. And I never saw you again. I had
I
no frame
you.
Of reference
yeah,
of
never,
who you were.
That's crazy. 'Cause
I was an audience.
Yeah.
You know, you were on the stage. And then I got introduced to you through somebody else, which was wild. So I don't know if you want to go into that.
Yeah.
But.
So, you know, like I said, God is just kind. He's just kind. And going through this time in my life, and Santoria knows my business. She knows my business, yo.
Got a crash course.
She knows my business. Because I felt like I was at a place like so ready to be out of deception.
Yeah.
I was so tired of being
deceived.
No, you
gave that too. Yeah, you were like, what I gotta do?
I was so like, what, I told you everything.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, you were running it down.
I was like, this, here. And it was mainly, here's where I'm wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
It wasn't so much, look at how everyone
nah, yeah,
hurt
never
me,
that. Yeah.
But it was like, here's how I'm wrong.
Yeah. Or even this is my struggle.
I'm struggling.
Or I'm legit frustrated with God because da 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 da.
Yeah.
Like it was, yeah, it was just very honest.
And I had, because I felt like I had got to a place where I just wanted to not be deceived anymore.
Yeah.
I hate, it's like when you realize that you've been deceived.
Yeah.
And you see it.
Yeah.
And
you're horrified by it.
I was, horrified.
No, I get it. Yeah.
Like have, and not just horrified because I know of the experience that people in my life, the things that people in my life might have experienced from me because of my brokenness.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In my deception.
Yeah.
But how much it might have grieved, or how much it did grieve God.
Yeah.
To watch the one that he loves and he created be so deceived.
Yeah.
And how much I thought he did not love me.
Yeah.
How much I thought he did not like me.
Yeah.
How much I thought I could never be reconciled fully to him. How much I thought that he was just going to use me and not know me and love me. I was convinced of it.
No, you really were.
Like
you really were. I was like, yikes. And I'm like,
for
how
sure
can you
yikes.
Be convinced of that? Yet you're running so hard for him.
I mean,
which was dope because what that showed me was you was hit by the bus, but it also showed me too that you had a mustard seed of faith.
I mean, a mustard.
You was like, girl, I ain't got a lot, but this little bit I got, can you help me, please? You were stirring. You was like, and I think it was that like. That, like, honestly, desperation that let me know this girl's about to be committed. And so I wanted to jump in there because I was also taught that when I discipled. Mm-hmm. I'm like, let me swoop this girl up before somebody raggedy does. And it goes left.
So
everybody doesn't handle you well.
I think that, no, they don't.
You know? So I'm like, I was like, this one, God's hand is on. I got it. I got it. You made me come out of retirement. I got it. I guess I got it. Because that's also a thing I can't do. I can't. It's like being a swim instructor. You see somebody drowning.
It's like, all right.
And you're like, nope, I ain't helping nobody and saving nobody. And then you're like, dude, grab the raft. It's like, oh, I'm not helping him. I'm not helping. You're like, fine, I'll jump in and save him. It's literally, I'm like.
So how Santoria and I met is because God was so kind to connect me with Jackie.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys know Jackie, and y'all love Jackie, and we all love Jackie. And Jackie, you know, was like, I really think that you have a heart for God. I think that you're trying to pursue God.
Yep.
And so I want to help you because you need help.
She was definitely
I
want to help
you. I want to help you because you're a mess, but you love God.
Yeah.
And so I want to help you.
So
I was telling her that, you know, because I had been praying, and you know this, I had been praying for a long time. since I moved into this house, I had been praying that God close the door yes. on every relationship and yes. any connect, like anything that was not for me
yep.
of him,
yep.
close the door.
Yep.
And I said, I mean, dead bolted. I want it shut. Yeah. I mean, I remember fiercely and earnestly, I mean, sincerely praying that God, anything
yeah.
that is going to be a hindrance,
yeah.
anything, any relationship that is yeah. not bearing good fruit, yeah. anything that is not of you,
yeah.
please just shut the door, bolt it, lock it, all that, right? Yeah. So I asked him that. But then I also asked, I said, God, open the door to every relationship that I'm supposed to have.
Yeah.
Bring people into my life that can help me in this season.
Yeah.
I was praying specifically, help me in this season, help me and help guide me in this season. And so every single person that came in my life after that came in a very specific way.
Yeah.
I mean, very specific way. Jackie, when I had reached out to her to come onto the last podcast, I reached out to her and she was like, I had been praying for you guys. Like, my hair, thanks. You could just tell me. I had been praying. I said, or she said she had been praying
mm-hmm.
before which I even reached out to her,
yeah.
right?
And we didn't even talk about that. That's
and, which was wild. So I get on the phone with Jackie. We have this amazing talk, and we talk, and then she got on the podcast, and that was great. But we had planned to meet. She and I had planned to meet after that.
Mm-hmm.
And we met, we talked, and she, I think there was the next time that we met up, she was like, I want you to meet the woman who discipled me.
Mm.
And she was like, I think that she can help you
yeah.
and I want you to meet her. And
yeah.
so we met at the yeah. taco place.
Yeah.
And what you said to me, you were like, I saw you at that conference.
Yeah.
And I said, I was going to pray for you.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And and I knew in that moment,
wow.
God was like, I sent, you're welcome.
Wow.
It was like, you're welcome. Because every person that had came after that who has been like speaking into
yeah.
my life,
yeah.
like has been like, I've been praying for you.
Wow.
It all started off that way. So that's why I knew like when we sat
that's
down.
That's so funny.
I knew it.
I didn't know you knew.
I knew
I
in that
still,
moment.
I was still like, Lord, what you want me to do?
I knew in that moment that he sent.
Wow.
Like it was a sent from him for sure. Like it was a.
That's dope.
For sure. Like I had knew. But I also believe that because I was so desperate
mm-hmm.
to be different, to change,
yeah.
to see myself the way that he saw me,
yeah.
I was so open.
No, you were.
To
you really were.
Ever
yes.
I needed to do.
Yes, yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
And in that conversation that when, you know, when we first started talking, ever since then, you have been extremely instrumental in my life, guiding me through this book.
Yeah.
So that I can start to see myself
yeah.
the way that
Amen.
God sees me.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I just think that, I guess my heart hurts for people who
don't have that. Yeah.
Because a lot of people think that they do.
Yeah.
Because you have somebody telling you what you want to hear.
Yeah.
You have somebody that is stroking kind of your
yeah.
ego, or you have somebody that's like, oh, well, it's not, you know, they're
yeah.
not giving you truth. And you've had to say some hard stuff to me.
Yeah.
You haven't been.
No, I'm not soft.
I mean,
I'm not soft. If anybody follows Jackie, y'all have heard her. And the funny thing is, I don't even halfway remember it. Like in the moment,
mm-hmm.
I say whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then I move on.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, you remember when you told me? I'm like, oh, nah. That sounds about
yeah,
right.
Yeah, it sounds about right. For sure, it sounds about
yeah,
right.
Yeah, nah, because I have such a strong conviction to honor the Lord.
Yeah.
So I want to steward the people that he places in my life well.
Yeah.
And so I ain't going to stand in front of him and he'd be like, why didn't you tell Megan she was da-da-da-da-da?
Mm-hmm.
I'd be like, I was scared. Nah,
mm-mm.
No, I wasn't. I wasn't more scared of Megan than I was you. I told her, Jesus, she ain't listen. Didn't you? Run the tape. It will never, do
it,
you hear me? It will never, unless I'm deceived and don't know the truth, it will never be
sure.
said that I did not say something that the Lord
told
me to
you
say. And I don't care if all heck break loose after I say it.
But see,
I'm going to be like,
that.
Ah.
But that's how you know you have the right person discipling you.
Mm.
Because they have a reverence and an awe of God
yeah.
that surpasses however you feel in the moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like my reverence for God doesn't, like my fear of what you might, your
yeah.
reaction does not
yeah.
outweigh my reverence for God.
Yeah, it shouldn't. And the thing, and I really believe just so y'all know, it's not, you know, a person being reckless, mm-hmm. that all things do work together for good. Mm-hmm. So I really believe that even if you don't understand why I'm hard on you now,
yep.
you will look back and see it later and value it.
Yeah.
And I always say, like, if I hurt somebody's feelings on earth, they're not going to see me in heaven and be like, I'm so mad. They're going to be like, girl, I'm so happy you said that, because that turned me around and that's why I'm here.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
And that is my job.
Yeah.
Because going back to what you said earlier, as a teacher, because disciples are teachers, mm-hmm. right? We're going to be held to a higher standard.
Yeah.
So I can't be playing with God's call. I can't be playing with his word. I can't be playing with his babies. And I'm not mm-hmm. going to.
No.
And I think, you know, similarly, we've both been through enough where we literally have nothing to lose, which is why I was like, this is really dangerous that the enemy us get to each other, because it's about to be over. Like, seriously, like, I've given up jobs. I've lost friends. I've lost
and we
money.
We didn't even tell them your background. Or yeah, you didn't tell them. I told yeah. you to tell them, but tell them your background. Because you're not far removed from the industry.
Nah. So before I, like, got serious about the Lord, I worked in television mm-hmm. for a few years. Mm-hmm. And I worked on, like, the first season of Ellen DeGeneres, Judge Judy, Judge Joe Brown, Tyra Banks' talk show, The Bachelor, The Bachelorette. And I'm talking about, like, seasons 1 and 2, like, Trista, I think, was the first Bachelorette we had. I was there. That's how long ago it was.
Wow.
And so I gave all of that up to serve the Lord. And it's crazy because I saw the industry conflicted. Like, God was calling me to himself, and the industry was so horrible. I was like, oh God, I don't like it here. I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
And I was younger then. And so I was even just too young. And I think I lacked the tools to be able to figure out how to navigate it mm-hmm. well. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I think now, cause I still would love to at some point, like,
go back
do
in
TV
that, yeah.
or do some film stuff. But yeah, I just think I wasn't equipped then. But yeah. it was good, because what the Lord did, I left the industry. So I left, the last show I worked on was Tyra Banks' talk show. Mm-hmm. So it was her first season. Mm-hmm. I left. And y'all, just to flex for a minute, to show you how tight I was, my boss, people were quitting back to back. Because if you worked mm-hmm. in television world, it's brutal.
Yeah.
You can easily work, you know, anywhere from 8, which is low end, to 12 hours a day, mm-hmm. 6 to 7 days a week. Like, they don't even care how much mm-hmm. they're working you. And so a bunch of people have started quitting. And so of all the people that quit, my boss was like, bye, bye, bye. Wasn't even tripping, because they know somebody else wants them.
Right.
You know, when easily I tried replaced. To quit, this homie begged me for 3 days not to quit. And I'm like, bro, and I'm saying, like, really reckless stuff too. Like, yeah, I ain't gonna say it. But I was saying really reckless stuff. And I'm like, why do you even want me when you see how I feel about it? Like, yeah. this is ridiculous. One of my homeboys who actually convinced me to quit, he quit. They just let him go. He was like, they ain't begged me to stay. So they were throwing more money at me, shorter hours. Like, it was wild. And it really felt like when Satan was tempting Jesus. Mm-hmm. He's like, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world if you just bow down.
Yeah.
And I remember that third day, I was like, nah, I just want out, homie. And he was like, okay. And I mean, we were walking the lot. It was at Warner Brothers. We're walking the lot. He's just saying, what about this? What about, I mean, great ideas. But I'm like, so that means you could have been doing this also. So anyways, I quit. A month later, I get a FedEx package from him. Hey, San, this is Kevin. I don't know. I could say his name. I said, this is Kevin. He had a deal to start up a bunch of shows mm-hmm. on. So under Warner Brothers, the production company was Telepictures Productions. Mm-hmm. So he was like, I got a deal to start up these shows. And he was like, I want you to come with me. He was like, I need to put a team together to do all the starting mm-hmm. up. And he was like, let me know what position you want and how mm-hmm. much. I was like, yo, leave me alone. I want Jesus.
And that's it.
And so, yep. So I went hard for Jesus. That's when I met who became my pastor. Mm-hmm. I became the women's minister and I worked in that ministry. Mm-hmm. And it was a boot camp. It was amazing. So there we learned, like, heavy apologetics, which mm-hmm. are things I can't wait to get into with you.
Yes.
I learned how to disciple. And I just learned, like, not only did I learn how to surrender your life, like mm-hmm. the church was beautiful, like the way we moved, It ended up collapsing. That will be coming in a book because my pastor got caught up in some mm-hmm. stuff. But like, it was beautiful the way we moved as one body. Mm-hmm. Like, it wasn't no competition. Mm-hmm. It was like, everybody was so loving. Everybody was so receptive. Mm-hmm. Everybody was always humbling themselves to each other. That part of it was really, really mm-hmm. beautiful. There was a lot of, we realized later, like a lot of abuse and manipulation that was mm-hmm. happening. But yeah, for the way that it trained me
yeah.
to submit to the Lord
yeah.
and to submit to his word,
yeah.
it was wonderful. And it was dope to be in a community of people.
Yes, that's what I was going to ask
that
you.
Extreme. So it was like, it was so good. And so, yeah, that trained me up hard. And so then when I went through, when everything came tumbling down, though, was when I was like devastated because I was like not only the women's minister, but I was a founding member. Mm-hmm. Like I was on the board mm-hmm. to set up the, you know, the 501(c), the mm-hmm. nonprofit, whatever. So when it came tumbling down, man, I was devastated and just kind of went into hiding for a little bit yeah. and trying to just get myself together.
Yeah.
And so then the Lord over time had to rebuild me. And so coincidentally, as I was like being rebuilt up by the Lord, like in a cave, mm-hmm. Jackie Star was rising, which was crazy because everything crumbled. She had been, well,
Yeah.
So,
cause the church that you were at, that's where you met Jackie.
Yeah. So she had, she actually saw me doing street evangelism online with this dude. And she was watched it apparently. And I would just quote scripture after scripture, which is my go-to. I'm like, I'm just wear you out with the word. I'm not going to do a whole lot of, my opinion don't matter. You know, God's does, yeah. right? So she said, she was like, who is this woman spitting scripture like that, mm-hmm. right? So she Googled the ministry, found us, called my pastor, mm-hmm. and was basically like, hey, I want to connect with y'all. And we were big on like, when people seemed hungry for the word, we would swoop them up. Mm-hmm. So if people were like, hey, I want to learn more, we'd be like, bet, we'll fly you out. We were in LA. Mm. We would pay, fly them out. Mm. Again, we were such a community. People could stay at our houses. Mm-hmm. We were driving them around. Be like, don't worry, you ain't got no money. We feed them. Mm-hmm. Make sure they have what they need.
Yeah.
So Jackie came out for a little bit. It went really well. And then I think she went back home. And I can't remember if she called me or I called her. But I think it was her because the Lord was really moving on her. She was like, I think I'm supposed to move to LA. And I was like, yeah, come on. So she came out and lived with me for 2 years,
wow.
discipled her. And so it was crazy. She came after the church had been around for a minute. Mm-hmm. And so when everything crashed, it was like at the end of her 2 year period, mm-hmm. which God worked it out perfect because I had started backing up from her some too. Like, you know, when she would want it, she'd be like, oh, I'm thinking about this. What do you think? And I would give her advice or help her like walk through mm-hmm. it strategically. But I started being like, you tell me what you should do. Mm. And she would get frustrated. Like, just tell me what to do. But I'm like, I gave you all the tools. Now let's see you work mm-hmm. them. And so the timing worked out perfect. She was able to, she actually went back to St. Louis temporarily, then moved to Chicago. Mm. That's where she met Preston and everything took off. Well, she had met Preston at a poetry event we had in LA, but they reconnected. And it went from there. So again, I'm like crushed, devastated because what just happened at my church to find out that my pastor was like a wolf in sheep's clothing, like knew the word hard, taught me everything I knew, but wasn't living it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It was that, which was crazy to me. Mm-hmm. And really was very, very skillful at hiding it. Because it, like I said, it was almost 10 years
yeah.
that we did ministry with him. And before we caught on to what was happening.
Yeah.
And so, so then she did her thing. So I was like, on the low, I was like, I don't want to do ministry no more. Because it devastated me. Being the women's minister, I felt really bad for the women that got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I should have
caught it.
So it took me a long time to forgive myself for that because I'm naturally even a protector. You know what I'm saying? I'm naturally going to be like, if I ride for you, like, it'll be like, no, you didn't.
Right.
And so.
But then when you play a role or when you think you played a role in someone's like
hurt, I'm vouching for him.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so y'all trust in him because I do.
Yeah.
And then he played all of us.
Yeah. It's like.
That was devastating. Yeah. And it was like severe.
Yeah.
Severe. Yeah, a lot of people like are atheists now, like the church scattered.
What did he do? Did you? So, I know you're going to write a book, and I know it's all going to come in there. What was the, like, what did he do?
So he was basically sexually involved with women and using scripture to justify it. And I'm talking about to the place where, and I didn't know, obviously, right? Right. But he, to the point where one of the girls, he told her, the reason you're struggling in your walk is because you don't realize you're a sinner and need Jesus. So basically, do this sexual stuff with me so you can see how sinful you are, and then that'll help you in your walk. It was so twisted, and it was so opposite what he said from the pulpit or his expectations on the group at large. So to know that, I was like, what? And then when she came forward, all these other people came out, these other women. I was so angry. And then, it's so much, but he was so cunning that I think he knew he was about to get caught. Mm-hmm. So he had started planting seeds of doubt in people's mind about me. Mm. So what crushed me on top of everything was when I'm trying to like rally people together to protect them, like this dude is off, because I saw it, right? And the girl ended up confessing to me what happened. So I sounded the alarm. Like it was, yeah, it was a big thing. But he was trying to pervert it like I already knew certain things. And because people were so devastated about it altogether, they didn't know who to believe.
Yep.
And then to find out that he had already been planting seeds of doubt, people were looking at me like, really, Sam? Mm. You didn't know, huh? You didn't know at all? Mm. It just got weird and it was stressful. And I did as much as I could in like my last ditch effort before I just had to leave. Because we were trying to figure out like how to shut things down, mm-hmm. how to tell the people, how to protect the people mm-hmm. or help them recover. We ended up even getting a therapist to fly out for a few weeks to do therapy. Because everybody was spiraling. It was horrible. And I also learned through that the way that we really have started putting more focus on our pastor than God. And so really we made him an idol, because when the Lord went back, he's like, Sam, I gave you warning signs.
Ooh, I hate when that happens.
And you kept ignoring it, thinking it was you. That was me. And so, yeah. So I think too, that's why I have a special place in my heart mm-hmm. for people not preaching solidly, for people mishandling. I don't play that.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, nah, we're not going to do that. We're either going to serve the Lord for real, or we're just going to go sit down somewhere. Or like I said, be a coach. Be an inspirational teacher. You don't have to say, I'm a preacher for the gospel of Jesus Christ. So there's a lot. But yeah, so
that's
slowly but surely, yeah, Jackie and I always remained in each other's mm-hmm. lives. I was visiting her. She would come visit mm-hmm. me. And I think on the low, she was always waiting for me to get back into ministry. Mm-hmm. Like, you need to. And then it was like, there was like a season. I want to say even within just the last 2 to 3 years, where I feel like she was always talking about discipleship and how discipleship was so effective for her.
Yeah.
And how whenever she hits a wall or she realizes she's going astray, she goes back to what she learned in discipleship. Yeah. It was like between her and Preston, they just, every time I turn around, they were like, discipleship. I'm like, oh, shut up.
Yeah.
You know? But I also was like, dang, I remember as my heart was healing from what happened.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, God, if discipleship is that powerful, like, I feel like I have an obligation to like get back in the ring.
Yeah.
Because I know that like me being able to pour into someone that will equip them for heaven mm-hmm. is literally the most valuable thing I could do for anybody. The most valuable thing.
Literally.
There's eternal rewards for that.
It's the only reason I can sit on this mic week after week. Because I don't want to do this.
Yeah, man.
And you know I don't.
Yeah. And meanwhile, I didn't either. Because I was like, Lord, I'm never doing ministry again.
And,
he was like,
and it's not because it's like we just want to not love God and not do what he wants us to do.
No.
But you know the responsibility that comes with it. And that's not always easy.
No.
And that weight is not, that's a hard weight. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
But the honor to be able to be the plug.
Yeah, no. Facts.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, yo, I got you.
Yeah.
Because I know a guy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I like, love it.
I always say my dad, Charles, my dad,
he, like actual
my actual father, Charles, he always, like, I said I was going to, I was like, when you die, I'm going to put this on your gravestone. I know a guy. Because you can ask my dad about anything, uh-huh. and he'll be like, oh, I know a guy. Like, if you were, oh, like, I'm trying to get to Mars, he would have a guy.
Oh, that's funny.
I mean, and he does. I don't know how he has all these connections, but yeah, he does. He always has a guy.
Yeah.
And that's how I feel when people are reaching out to me and they're like, how did you, you know, overcome being suicidal? Right. How did you overcome your anxiety? Yeah, how did you overcome, you know, depression? How did you overcome these things? And I'm like, I know a guy.
Yeah.
His name is Jesus.
That's real.
And I'm telling you, I've tried it all. Yeah. I can't give you every explanation of why it works.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit and the Great Trinity, I can't explain all the things to you yet.
Right.
But what I can say is that what I do know is that when I invited him in, something happened.
Yeah.
And when you invite him in, something will happen.
It will happen.
If you go to him sincerely,
no,
you can't do this and be like,
Yeah.
All right, like,
we
go. You can't go to God and be like, let me see what you got.
Be arrogant about it.
Nothing's gonna happen with that.
No, nothing's gonna happen.
But if you go to him with a sincere heart, something happens.
Yeah.
And to be able to be the plug,
and be like, with you on that.
That's the thing that I'm like, people are suffering, people are dying, and people are not saved. And we have, like, if I can be a vessel to help people gain their life instead of lose their life, why would I not do
that?
Why
would you not do it?
Why would I, like, why would I not?
Mm-hmm. No, I agree with you. And I think for me, like, as someone who disciples, not only was I like, dang, I can help, but I was like, man, I actually enjoy it.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing more exciting for me than to see it click for somebody. Because I'd be like, yeah. Like, that's eternal dividends right there.
Yeah.
It's so bomb. So even for you to say, like, man, I realized, to make it personal, if I'm honest, I said that casually. I didn't even think that was going to be as transformative as it was.
Changed my life.
But that's also why it's important, though, for the discipler to be in step with the Lord and be led by the Holy
Spirit. He told you to say that straight up.
Yeah, he did.
Because it changed my life.
And you had mentioned it, I think, like, just recently, you had told me. And I was just like, oh, wow, that's so interesting. And it's funny because in your own mind, there'll be other stuff that you think will be more impactful. And you're like, nah, that
did it there.
And they're like, okay. And that's dope, too, because it really helps me to remember, like, it ain't even about me and my skill set. It's really about me making myself available to the Spirit of God and then pouring into you.
Yep.
Like, that's it. You know what I'm saying? And so, I, like you said, just being able to be the plug, knowing that, and what I've learned, it's funny, when I went through the stuff, the spiritual abuse, basically, with my old church, and I was going through the recovery and I was talking to the therapist, he says, San, he was like, I know this is painful, but this is going to be the best thing that ever happened to you. I was so angry. Mm-hmm. I literally wanted to hit him. Mm-hmm. I was like, no, you didn't. But he was right.
Yeah.
You know, the way that the Lord has been able to reveal himself to me because of that,
yeah.
The way that he had to restore me, the way that he had to comfort me, the way that he had to encourage me, the way that he had to rebuild me, God himself had to do that. It established so much more of an intimacy with me and him.
Yeah.
And so now I'm able to speak to that in discipleship.
Yeah, I think the openness that you have to God, the openness that I had to change to God, like openness that I had to God too. Right. Like, both people have to be open because then even the smallest things, like you said, I didn't even think nothing about it.
Yeah.
You know, you saying that, just you saying it, being open to him, and you said it and me just being open to try it.
Yeah. You were like, oh, let me try that.
And
yeah.
every time I go in scripture, it comes to my head.
That's
like,
so dope.
I wrote this to you.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't write this just to them.
Yep.
I wrote this for you.
Yeah.
And I had, like, the thought that the God of the universe had me in mind when he wrote this.
Trippy. Yeah.
Like, I made this a personal letter to you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. It's overwhelming. And it's hard to put into words because it's like you said, the bus analogy, it's that.
No, it's facts. But it's funny because you'll realize more and more as you talk to people, you can tell who been hit by the bus.
And you, and you can tell
who saw somebody get hit.
Yeah.
You can, I mean, it's just like, they'll be like, oh yeah, and then that thing hurt. You'd be like, yeah, I was in a coma for 3 months. It hurt.
Yeah, it hurt.
That was a real simplified way of what happened. I was in a coma. They didn't think I was going to
make
live.
It. I was on life support. Listen, do you hear me?
They had to switch out a couple of organs while I was down.
Limbs were gone.
You said it hurt. And then you're walking around here and you ain't got that limp that people be having when they get hit by the bus.
No.
You lying.
You ain't get hit by no bus.
You ain't get hit by no bus. You saw it, though. You gave some descriptors that let me know you saw it.
But you wasn't
the one
hit.
That got hit. Nah. It changes you. It changes you forever. It
changes you.
Yeah.
But even in what I was going through for the last, you know, since May, what I had been experiencing, when it first started, I remember right out here on this patio that I often pace and walk, especially when I'm mad. The other day, or like a couple weeks ago when I called you and I was fired up. And I was like, but I ain't gonna say nothing. I'm going to love. I will not do
You're
this.
You're like, wait, do you have capacity?
I sure did. I said, before I start, do you have the capacity to take in what I'm about to do?
Like, yeah, go for it.
But I remember that I was on this patio pacing, and I just remember feeling like my chest was going to explode. Like, I remember feeling like the world was crushing me. Like, I felt it. I felt like there was a pressure and weight that I felt on me, and it felt like things were being ripped out of, like, it was just excruciating internal pain that I can't put into words, but it felt like just everything inside of me was being ripped and tossed and turned and just being crushed. Like, I could feel the weight of sin. Like, I could feel it. The weight of deception. I could feel it. And it was like it hit me all at one time. Like, all of it at one time. It just hit me. Everything that I had been, you know, maybe ignoring or whatever. Like, the deception.
Yeah.
Like, that I had been carrying
for
33 years.
Just
the last 5 years.
I get it.
For 33 years. Yep. That deception that I had been carrying crushed me.
Wow.
It came all crumbling down.
Wow.
And I remember, even in that feeling, there was a small thing inside of me. Very, very small and very, very faint. But it was very, very prevalent. Mm-hmm. But it was still very faint. I don't know how that can both be at the same time. But it was
The Bible talks about God having a still small voice.
Yeah. It was like way back.
Yeah.
And it was the same thing. I am, what I'm about to do through you is going to radically change your life.
Mm.
But you had to come to this.
Yeah.
Like, I had to come to that level of brokenness.
No, it's true.
For him to, and what I thought about too, I was like, wow, the kindness of God to allow whatever it took.
Yeah.
Without taking my life.
Yeah, no, facts.
Thank you.
Yeah, but right.
Some days I wish you would have.
No,
I'll be honest.
Yeah, I get it.
If God would have killed me in May, I would have been
like, all right, deuces.
I mean,
it's been real, everybody.
I would have left out with a smile.
Oh,
okay.
That's funny.
But the way he, I it was just like, this is going to change everything.
Yeah.
And the kindness of him to do whatever or allow whatever needed to take place to get me to that place.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
No,
he allowed all of that heartache, all of that confusion, all of that turmoil and just to get me to this place.
And that's an indicator of healing.
Yeah.
Because when you're in the middle of it, it feels so cruel.
This conversation is obviously just going and flowing, and this is what we do when we get together. So it's, you know, I know we were kind of all over the place, but I know a lot of your questions got asked. Before we end, because we're going to come back, we're going to do, a lot of your questions were answered. Before we end, I want to do the phone a friend, and then we're going to stop here, and then you got to come back next week for part two, because we're going to get into more of kind of the modern day church and some of the things that maybe God is happy with, some of the things that maybe God isn't happy with, and just as a tool and ways to help you discern.
Yeah.
Where should I be going to church? Who should be discipling me? Who should I be listening to? What podcast should I be listening to? What pastor should I be listening to? Right? So we're going to kind of get into some of those things. But before we go, I want to do the phone a friend. And so this one, if you guys are joined on my Patreon, if you are a part of my Patreon community, What's Up Village, if you are a part of that community, then you guys have the ability to be a part of the show by getting your questions asked through text, through voicemail, through voice memos. So make sure you head over to my Patreon right now. All exclusive content. You get the podcast early every Tuesday. You get a vlog every Friday. And every other Thursday, I go live. So every other Thursday, we're going to go live. We're going to be introducing something new with our live very, very soon. So make sure you stay tuned with that. And Santoria is a part of that, which is going to be really, really cool. And I can't wait to show you guys in more of those details. But before we go, for part one, here is a question. So this is a text from Haley. So what I like to do is read a text from my Patreon community, and then we're just going to see if we can help them.
Okay.
So, hey, Meg, how can one identify God's calling for their life? Is it the desires of the heart? If not, what are some things that I can look for that would let me know that this is that this or that is what he has planned for me? And I feel like that's a question a lot of people have. What is my purpose? What am I supposed to do? What what does God want me to do? So how can someone identify?
Yeah, I think one of the things is just kind of looking at some of the things that you're naturally good at, because it's so funny. I was always the go-to for my friends in like high school and college when they had issues, to the point where they were like, you should be a therapist. And I was like, no. And they're like, why? I'm like, cause y'all don't be listening. Right. But I'm like, oh, that's essentially what I do as a discipler. Yep. Right. And I really enjoy, helping people, helping them connect the dots, helping them find their way.
Yeah.
And so it took me forever to get back around to like, oh, and it feeds me, like it does something for me. So it's fulfilling. It's one of those things that's like, I would do it even if I never got paid for it, or if I'm never acknowledged for it. Like, it's something that I would need to do. So I would say it's really that simple. And I feel like I made it more complex when I was younger, but the older I've gotten, I'm like, nah, like when the Bible says your gifts make room for you, that's real. The gifts are already there. And it's just like, it just opens up as you lean into it. And you're like, oh, here we are.
I think for me, like another way that really helped me was because she asked about, is it the desires of your heart? And here are a few things that like get kind of confusing, because the Bible says that the heart is deceitful above all, who can know but God. But I think that when there are things in your heart that you just can't get away from, and it lends itself to a positive outcome, then those things might be from God, and it's worth exploring those things. Yep. So if it's something like God gave me, like, I have a desire to be a stripper. Well,
That's not God.
I don't know if that's God.
That's not God. It's not God.
But if it's like, man, I just love children. Like, I just love being around kids.
Yeah.
And it's just like your heart just loves, like, you just love that.
Yeah.
That might be an indicator that might be something to explore.
Yep.
You know, God might have something for you in that. So it's not to completely ignore your heart, but it's to take inventory of it and knowing that, are the things that my heart desires, are they pleasing to God?
That's
and if they're pleasing to him, then I can go in that direction.
That's right. And pray. Pray
and ask.
And more prayer. Yeah. And even maybe talk to people that know you well and be like, what do you think I'm gifted at? What do you think would be effective for me? Just to get an idea. You don't have to... like take what they say and run with it, but just to
but
add
it's helpful.
It to your intel as you decide. But and I think God is always faithful as you seek him. Like, he will make the way clear ultimately.
Yeah.
He always does.
Yeah. So I hope, Haley, I hope that helps you. And if anyone else had that question, I hope that helps you guys. At the end of every episode, I told you guys that I want to give you a journal prompt, because I think that those are very helpful. And especially if you're new to pursuing any type of relationship with Christ, I think it's very helpful just to kind of have that that outlet.
Yeah.
And so I want you guys this week to maybe write about or take inventory in your journal on what discipleship would do for you. Like, what would, if I were, if God, if you brought someone in my life to disciple me, what would that do for me?
Yeah.
And, and just be, and just see where that takes you. Like, I don't have a long, I want it to be something that God inspires, but just take that moment and be like, man, like, what would discipleship do for me? And would it be beneficial for my life?
I was like, and can I add a part too? Yeah. And if you're like, if you realize it would do something, you're like, dang, maybe I need to pursue discipleship. Then ask yourself, am I ready for it?
That's a good one.
And really be honest with yourself, because you don't have to tell anybody. Yep. but just be like, man, am I ready for someone to have access to my life, to my thoughts, to my perspectives, and challenge me on them? Mm-hmm. Like, if it's like, no, that's not exactly biblical, like, am I prepared for that?
Yeah.
I think that's really valuable, because like Meg said earlier, you know, God is not going to force himself on you. Neither will he have his servants force themselves. Mm-hmm. So, you know, make sure you're ready if it's something you want to pursue.
I love that. So, you guys, that's your journal prompt for this week. This was an amazing episode. Yeah. Part two is coming up. And I'm just really thankful that you guys are kind of in on this journey with me and seeing how I'm doing it. I'm being so vulnerable and transparent because I want God to be seen in it, like, period. I just want him to be seen in it. And what he's doing in me, I want him to be glorified. This is not me. This is not the, you know, it is work that I'm doing, but it's not out of my own ability. Like, God is doing something and I want him to have the glory for it. So I want you guys to see that. So I'm so thankful that you're...
And what you see is what you get. I just need people to know that. Like, she's super authentic, y'all. Like, she's not putting on for the camera. This is really who she is. This is really what she's thinking through. This is really how she talks. I just feel like I want to say that because I think it's so rare.
Yeah.
Like, so often you meet a person in a certain context and then you come home with them and you're like, oh.
Yeah.
But that's not a thing. Yeah. So I just wanted to say that.
I appreciate you. And I love you guys and I appreciate you. And we'll see you back here next week for part two. Centauri is not going anywhere. She'll be right here and we'll see you guys next week. I love you. Hey, you guys, before you go, I just wanted to say how grateful I am for your love and support. If you've enjoyed this episode, please take a moment and share it with a friend or a family member. If you could do me one huge favor, head over to Apple Podcasts and leave a 5-star rating and a heartfelt review. It helps others just like you discover the podcast. You guys, let's continue to spread the inspiration. For more about me and the podcast, visit www.themeganashley.com. Until next time, stay encouraged that you are so valued and so loved.